Welcome to the Local Foods, Local Places show. This is Liza Marin, and I'm pinch hitting for our illustrious Abe Rosenberg as he shelters at home at Jackrabbit Hollow down there in Antonito. Hey, Abe. We're going to talk today with two important local food enterprises and their leaders, and just talk about regional food supplies versus the global food system and how we are locally here affected by the new reality lately. And so really excited to have Nick Chambers, the general manager of the Valley Roots Food Hub, and Greg Goser of Goser Ranch, Mountain Mama Flour, and Goser Sausage. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liza.
All right. Great to have you here. So how are we all doing?
We're hanging in there.
Doing pretty good.
It's been a rodeo.
So I'd like you each to maybe to tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves. You're somewhat infamous in the San Luis Valley, but tell a little bit about yourselves and then a little bit about your businesses prior to the COVID-19 virus pandemic. So let's start with Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, we do a lot of different things, and we make sausage, we cater, we make flour, and we deal in whole grains. And, you know, thank goodness we have all of these irons in the fire. And what we were up against coming into the new year, I was so excited because it's just taken us some time. My dad passed away last year, and it just took us some time to kind of get our feet back underneath us last year. And, you know, we had built up some steam this year, and the start of this year, we were busier than we had ever been. And we had, the catering program had really started to pick up. So anyway, we were just really excited. And all of a sudden this happened. And, we have absolutely had to stop everything. Look at where we're at. We've lost a lot of accounts. Our restaurant accounts dropped out overnight. And some of our biggest accounts that we have that get rid of most of our product are restaurants. And so to have that as a hit right off the bat was really an interesting spin. And so, you know, we have been shuffling and trying to find out how people are getting food and what they're eating and how we can make that path easiest. And so, you know, I run a lot. I'm in my truck a lot running around the state. And luckily I've got a great group and group of guys, and, you know, they're filling orders and doing their thing. But it has been really interesting to see how Colorado Springs is dealing with it, how Pueblo is dealing with it, Durango, Cortez, Taos, Santa Fe. That's kind of the area that we cover. And so anyway, it's just been a lot of shifting, and it seems like the story changes almost hourly, or the feeling changes almost hourly as to how people are interpreting the information and what they feel safe doing, and what they feel unsafe doing. And so we're really having to be on our toes and move around. And what we found out is that people are cooking a lot more. It was like there was this huge rush into the stores to buy food. The restaurants closed down. And now they're hunkered down in their kitchens. And thank goodness we have our Mountain Mama Flour. And that has really picked up some steam. And thank goodness we've got a Mormon community down south that believes in stashing grain. And it, you know, it's helped fill a little bit of the hole that the restaurants have had. So anyway, kind of where we're at right now.
Can you say a little bit about your Mountain Mama product, like what that is? And
absolutely. So back in 1970, my dad and my mom started raising grain, and they put in, my mom had always baked, My dad eventually put in a small mill, like that. I think it was a 12-inch Meadows stone mill. And they started marketing and distributing the wheat that they grew on the farm here. And that's grown. That was in 1970 when that started. And we continue on with that idea. It's grown a little bit. We're not huge by any means. And everything is stone ground. It's all locally, all the grain is locally grown here. We have a ton of organic grain that's available. And I'm trying to expand the line into spelt and rye. Jones Organic Farm is supplying us with some interesting grains, and it's been fun. This year has been fun, and I'm really glad that we've had an open mind to bring some of those new products in, because now with the mill going off like it is, it's nice to have that offered. And so anyway, we mill fresh and deliver directly to bakeries, to a few stores. Valley Food Co-op used to be one of our bigger retail outlets in the valley. And so right now we have flour available through the Local Boers grocery program that they're developing. Jessica LaRiva at Tumbleweed Bakery, or Tumbleweed Bread out of Monta Vista, she's also distributing some product for us, and also uses our flour in her wonderful bread. So anyway, and then I drop to bakeries all over the Southern Colorado and Northern New Mexico. And we've been doing it for a long time. It's a wholesome, wonderful product. And we just, it's all I've known. Well, it's been a piece of my life ever since I was, like, you know, 11 years old. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's an amazing product, and so happy to know that you've been able to pivot and just keep, you know, keep rolling with all this going on. And so, Nick, and you too carry Mountain Mama Flower there at the Valley Ridge Food Hub. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the Food Hub and what's that been like for you?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's been real interesting. You know, for 6 years, we've operated this one day per week of a kind of a Southern Colorado aggregation network, and then a one day of delivery. And so we were like bringing everything we could together between Pueblo and the Valley, and then delivering it. And then we were just that first week in March there, whenever it was, second week of March, we just got slammed, and then all the retailers were like, oh my God, we can't wait until next week. We need it like on Monday. And so it was a real clear decision that was like, well, I guess we're, you know, initiating another aggregation and delivery cycle per week. And then we had CSA, you know, individuals at home signing up, you know, 5 to 10 signups per day, half of them were placing orders. So we just had to jump into our two aggregation cycles per week, which means the system's always going. And it was a real easy choice. It was like what needed to happen, and people have been real appreciative, and we've been grown quite a bit in territory and just number of registrants. So, you know, from pretty much Alamosa, Del Mar up into Creed, and then Crestone, Sawatch, Salida, Buena Vista. And now we had a real nice contingency come out of Hartzell in South Park up there, and then also Springs, Pueblo, and Denver, and everywhere in between. People are just coming out that, you know, A, it was just like, oh, my God, we just want local food, and we deliver to a pickup location. And then the governor's order came through, and it was like, everyone stay at home. So then we jumped into, you know, driving to people's houses. And, you know, in our rural districts, some of those houses are far and few between. But we've been doing it, and the staff has been awesome, and they've been coming in just supercharged. And, you know, we've been having some long days, but we're also operating pretty much constantly. So we're sort of spreading out the bulk of the orders over the week, which has really helped. And, yeah, we work with about 65 producers across meat, dairy, produce, and value-added. And, of course, Grossars and Mountain Mama are some of our top guys. We're over there every week loading up, now twice a week.
Yep.
And yeah, the work that Chris and I do together, I mean, we've been helping each other out with transports, and he's been helping getting our Valley Abiotor eggs down into some Santa Fe markets, and we're looking at maybe going over towards the Durango area. And so the work that we do is getting more intense because those people are really relying on our product that comes out of the valley. And working together like we do has just been awesome and really appreciative, Chris. So yeah, it's been full throttle, but it's never felt so right or kind of normal in a way. And we are certainly not bored. And we've got plenty to occupy our stay-at-home quarantine. I'm kind of liking it, actually.
So do you think people are waking up to where their food comes from?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a break for local food in this local food system that we've built. And people are. They're just saying, like, oh, my God, there is this resource under my thumb this whole time, and I just... Maybe they haven't had the instigation to step into it or to get rolling. So it's been a big break. And, you know, we've got a goal of, I'm going to call it 85% of all this new business. You know, if everything went back to normal tomorrow, we're hoping to retain, you know, a good chunk of that. So I think in a way, things will never be the same in the food system. I mean, things are really severely affected. And all our restaurant customers, that's one more thing I'll add there is, man, we were probably 90% wholesale, restaurants, schools, hospitals, things like that, and about 10% CSA, you know, online grocery shopping, delivering to people's homes and that type of thing. And then overnight it switched. Now we're 90% home people and 10% wholesale. So all our restaurant guys and much of our markets has just dropped out. And so I really, you know, acknowledge these people that have stuck in there for so long, and then this happens, and it's hard to, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So, in a way, it's a blessing and a curse. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think one of the biggest benefits that we have going is that we are established, but we're not too big, and we can really change our program right in the middle of the game. I mean, we were thrown a curve overnight, and I watch big distributors still wrestling with how to manipulate their product and how to deliver. And I mean, they're just like trying to turn a whale in the ocean, you know, and these guys, it's just unbelievable. And we've been Johnny on the spot, just delivering, and it feels really good. It feels like we're doing a really wonderful service, you know, and I love being part of that. I'm sorry about that.
And so have you had new market exposure, would you say, Chris?
So what's happened to us, and this is one of the most exciting things, is, you know, I get these Facebook posts, and I'll throw something out, like, you know, people that are using our flour, baking bread with it, and someone will chime in saying, well, do you deliver to Pueblo? And someone else will say, you know, I know all these people, you can use my house as a stop, and I'll get the orders together. And so I've been getting these orders from all these people doing neighborhood stops. And we gain, you know, there's a whole handful of wonderful clients that never knew about our product until right then. You know, they weren't walking in the store and buying it because it's hard to get store visibility or accounts, you know, it just takes a long time. But I love this immediacy, and I love the visibility that we're all getting at this time. I think the Valley is absolutely shining right now as a food producer, and if we can just keep our head down and pound this thing out and work hard and stay consistent with what we've got, I think Nick is right on. I can't see how this can't help us in the future. You know, what if everything goes back to the way it was? I just can't think that people will forget about what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I've heard some stories like that Tortilleria La Unica, and I don't know if this is still true, Nick, is not able to access masa to make corn tortillas, but that is a long supply chain far away, but yet they can make their flour tortillas because they're accessing flour. And I've heard that you can't buy yeast in the grocery store because everybody's in their home kitchen trying to bake up some bread, you know, while they're home, they've got this connection to their kitchen that you know, they, you know, yeah. in this fast rat race they've like let go of. And so, you know, it's a scary time, but there's a lot going on that's good too.
It is. There's a lot of food available, and I think the distribution, Nick's got his finger on the pulse of that whole scene, but you'll see these ebbs and flow of the way food moves throughout the system. That's so interesting to me when grocery stores get gutted and people panic and where they end up getting their stuff, and then all of a sudden they've got a full refrigerator, and then you see it get used, and then they come back into the stores. And I've really been trying to keep track of that flow, and it's hard. It's hard to figure out what's going on. But anyway,
so Nick,
I don't know where I was going with that.
So Nick, do you, what kind of lessons have you been experiencing, and what do you see playing out in the food hub world?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like our production is solid, and, you know, at least the farmers and ranchers and producers that we're involved with are in good supply. There is no, like, shortage. And you hear about these national stories where, you know, they're dumping milk and they're plowing in crops and all that type of stuff. And I'm not seeing that in our network. You know, it's just it's great to see people come out of the woodwork. Another one that's come out is just these kind of final mile grocery delivery businesses, primarily along the Front Range. They've been just hit really hard. So they're kind of coming out as champions, you know, doing that final mile for customers. But also, I think it's just the teamwork coming together, my crew that comes in every week, and man, just the attitudes and taking care of issues and problems like it's just normal part of the flow, and, you know, and just kind of moving through stuff. And also on the flip side of that is just quality control and making sure that, you know, we're staying on top of stuff and customers are having a good experience. And, you know, as far as food safety and all that, you know, in the food hub world, germ theory and operating very sanitary stuff and routinely, you know, hand washing and sanitizing, that is like 101. So that department is like, everything's been pretty much normal, and if not, you know, heightened. You know, just working with people, getting to know people all over the state, what their needs are, what their interests are, what they like to eat, you know, it's been a ride, honestly, and I don't think we're over it quite yet. But it's going to be interesting to look back at this time. You know, I got a high school daughter going through it, and it's like, man, their whole high school, their whole senior year was stolen from them. And so this is a time in history that I think is going down in the books. So, you know, and we keep going forward.
Right. And so, you know, I also want to bring up, Chris, I know that, you know, by the time this show airs, you will have already done this, but, I understand you're conducting a big feed for the medical community. So you can just tell us what you're cooking up there.
Absolutely. You know, we've always been humbled by the community support, our fans. I mean, it's taken us a long time to get here, but, you know, I think that we're in a position right now to where we really need to look at our systems that help this country move and move in a positive direction. And we need the medical community big time. I mean, we always need it, but especially now. And I just have a feeling with the stress load that those guys are doing all over the valley, getting prepared, whether we get hit hard or not, is kind of beside the point. In the meantime, these guys are under stress. They've changed their systems of operation, and they are also not able to do the surgeries that make them money. And so they're furloughing people in the hospitals. And so what we're going to do is we are feeding everyone in the medical community in the San Luis Valley, really. We're working with Kelly over at the Alamosa Hospital, and it's a big push for us right now, but I think it's really an important piece of light that we need to see, that we are a community and we're all in this together. And I really want, you know, it'll be a fun day. It really will. And we're excited to honor those people, and we're just humbled by their efforts. So anyway, we're gonna do lunch for them.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. So I do want to make sure that our listeners can understand how to access these incredible locally produced products that we have. So Nick, can you tell our listeners how they can access the 65, you know, producers that you represent and their products in the San Luis Valley or beyond if you're...
Yeah, the easiest is just the website, valleyrootsfoodhub.com. And there you will see a link to the CSA market. And you can just hit that and register right there on the spot and then see what we're doing. And our current sort of schedule is Tuesday, 4 p.m. deadline for Friday delivery or pickup. And then Friday, 4 p.m. deadline for Tuesday delivery or pickup. And so you can just put your stuff in there and jump online like you, you know, like people, most people are used to these days at least. And it's all there at the bottom of your fingertips.
Beautiful. And how about you, Chris? How can we access Gosar products and Mountain Mama Flower and that kind of thing?
Nick is way more savvy with the tech thing than I am. He's much further along. But anyway, our email address is gosarranch@gmail.com. And I can communicate through there. But locally, we have Locabores is available for our product. City Market, The Green Spot, Jessica at Tumbleweed Bread. We have Top Value in Monta Vista, Lowe's in Del Norte, and Rainbow Grocery in South Fork for local people here. Those are the ones that are selling our product right now.
Excellent. And what are you practicing, you know, in the safety world as far as your employees and your in that kind of thing, since you're working, you know, during a kind of a shutdown?
Absolutely. So we had built up a lot of stock right before this happened. The guys were working hard. They all went home for a week, and I held out to fill orders and move around the country, and we got really busy. And so I told my guys, you know, I'm not into doing anything you feel unsafe about. We need to communicate. And so everybody's ended up coming back to work. They all glove up and they wear masks and keep things hyper clean. And then when I'm out on the road, I don't do a delivery without a mask or gloves. And I have a box of gloves that I go through, and just the exposure is big, and we're all really important in this piece of the machinery here. And I don't want to go down, and neither does anybody else. So we're really trying to be on our game with this.
So why is what you both are doing important, Nick?
You know, I think this is when the local food system comes alive. And, you know, we connect the dots, and that's more about eating. It's also about the economy, investing in your neighbors, and investing in your counties, investing in your state, you know, and all that stuff is more direct and somewhat distant, but it relates to everybody. So I think that's important. And, you know, it's from the soil up is our motto. And I think that's an important place to start. It's good that we're just more people are getting on board, and there's a more of a sort of a network building that really is plowing into the local food economy.
Beautiful. How about you, Chris? What would you say about why what you're doing is important right now?
Well, we've always been really concerned about creating quality food, but food has always been the glue for gathering people together. And I love the idea of what food does. Nourishing is one thing, but when we cater and when we're out and about, it's really fun. We don't do anything that we don't enjoy. And I love the piece that food plays in our life. And I really enjoy the relationships that are established through dealing with these products and being in touch with the people. And I think that's one of the biggest losses for everybody with this distancing is, you know, yeah, you can cook food in your house, and but I really miss the social aspect that food offers, and hopefully we'll get through this and, you know, we'll be able to tear it up for the future. But for me, it's the binding factor, the social ideas that come with food, and then obviously the quality. It's just wonderful.
Awesome. And so, you know, when this whole thing, kind of my last question, we're getting to the end of our interview here, but just thinking about, you know, coming out of this changed, what, you know, just one thing that if you have a hope of what we come out of this changed as a society, as a culture, as a planet, as a community, what, you know, what is your hope for how we could come out of this different?
Nick, go for it.
Well, you know, hate to be too narrowly focused on what's right in front of me, but I must say, you know, I hope that the, like I said, 85% of these new relationships that we built, I hope they stay and they persevere long into the future. And, you know, maybe in general, the way people eat and procure their food has been changed a little bit. And like, it's not so much just go down to the store and grab whatever off the shelf and that's that. It's more like, huh, well, you know, where do I want to go as an individual, and what kind of world do I want to live in? And, you know, what choices and what food choices do I make to sort of work towards that end and that investment? So, you know, I just hope that more of what's been happening continues. And I hope we continue to be as busy as we are and getting all this good food to these people.
Thanks, Nick. How about you, Chris? Any closing thought?
You know, I agree with Nick. I really think that that kind of visibility that we all have right now, I'm hoping that it sticks and that people remember what's going on. But ultimately, I hope we all get through it together and just treat each other better after it's all said and done. And we can all sit around and eat sausage and drink beer. It'll be wonderful.
Thank you. I am so inspired by both of you. Thank you so much for this work you're doing in the front lines. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in. We've been talking to Chris Gosar of Gosar Ranch and Mountain Mama Flour, Gosar Sausage. We've been talking to Nick Chambers, Valley Roots Food Hub, Chief Fungi. And thank you for tuning in to KRZA.